Hello and welcome to another installment of a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center. There we can wash your car and you can listen to these Bible teachings on a loop by turning your radio to 107.1 FM. If you're in the parking lot, you can pick it up on that transmission station. You're also welcome to come to the Wash and Word website. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to these messages and find out all the information about our business and about our ministry. Join me here on this radio station, WMCH, at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. And we are going to continue our verse-by-verse Bible teaching because this is what we do. We believe that it's the most effective way to properly equip the saints for the troubles of this world. And so we left off in John chapter 11, verse 16. Before we begin, let's talk about something pleasant. Let's talk about death. I mean, after all, death is something that we're practically gaining. We're gaining a lot of strides on. What I mean by that is, you know, over the last several hundred years or more, we've seen many strides, medically speaking. We've seen the virtual eradication of TB. We've seen smallpox virtually disappear, cholera, polio. I mean, people are living longer now than ever before, and that's a great thing. It's a great thing, except perhaps when it comes to driving on the roads. Listen, you know who you are. Some of you need to just hand in the license, but getting back to death, because that's everyone's favorite subject. Today, as many medical breakthroughs as we are making and advancing, and as many things as we have basically eradicated, there's an increase, a huge increase in things like heart disease, cancer, stress-related heart attacks and strokes are just, they're skyrocketing. And it doesn't matter whether it's something that's no longer around like smallpox or if it's a stress-related heart attack. There is a 100% death rate to our humanity. And you could be a health nut, a physical fitness buff. In fact, you've seen the guys, you know, they're in the gym and they've been working out for decades and they're just absolutely, they're just one giant neck. They're like a walking solar eclipse. These guys are huge. You know, they walk up to you in the gym, they're like, hey, can you spot me? And you're like, yeah, I could spot you from a mile away. But listen, a healthy corpse is still a corpse. No one can escape death. No one can avoid it. And no one can master it. Well, almost no one. You see, the master over death will triumph. And he will raise Lazarus. And that is about what we're about to look at here in chapter 11. Him and his disciples are on their way up to go visit Lazarus. It's been almost 4 days. Lazarus is not only dead, but he is in the decomposing stage of his death. Time permitting, we're going to look at three things in this section of scripture. Martha's faith, Mary's grief, and Lazarus' life. Look at verse 17. We're going to read 10 verses. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Stop right there. That's a great scripture. And in here, we see another one of Jesus' famous I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. So Martha, in very Martha fashion, takes action to meet Jesus, runs out to meet him. Remember, Martha was the one busy about the house, and Mary was the one sitting at Jesus' feet when he had come to visit one time. But this is what I want to focus on. She went to him with faith. If, in fact, does anyone really ever go to Jesus without faith? I mean, it's almost borderline redundance. If you say, I went to Jesus, it's almost implied that there is faith involved. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. But along with her faith, listen to this, she also brought knowledge. I love how she was well aware of the resurrection. Jesus hadn't even taught a whole lot about it, but she was aware of the resurrection. We saw that in verse 24 where she answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She showed a lot of knowledge there. And this tells me that she was listening when Jesus did speak, whether it was in her house or in the synagogue. And her faith combined with knowledge brought action. Now, some will teach that she was a bit mad, that she ran out there in an anger state. Why didn't you come here sooner? You could have fixed this, and you know. But even if that's true, it was still her faith and her knowledge that brought on action. And boy, what a great pairing! What a great grouping of things: faith, knowledge, and action. Understand something, okay, about being mad at Jesus, because I've been mad at Jesus before. I have been mad at God for things that have happened or things that have not happened. But we never, ever have the right to be mad at Jesus. Now, I know we still get mad at God. I know it still happens, but we have no right to do that ever. Oh, but thank God for his patience and understanding. Listen, Martha was not rebuking Jesus' delay, but she was affirming his power. Where was her faith and her hope? It was in Christ, in his ability. She's saying that only you could have helped him and only you could have healed him. She knows that only Jesus could raise him, and because of her action, she expects him to. Because of her faith, she's waiting for it to happen. But when? Well, this is where, you know, her knowledge and her faith get a little tested. Because she's saying, I know you're going to do these things, Lord, in the last day. And Jesus says, yes, Mary, Martha, you are right. He will rise in the last day. But he is not the resurrection and the life of the final judgment. I am. And I am that exclusively. You see, in Christ, friends, we are not going to be resurrected one day. We are already resurrected. We have already received our new body, as it were. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ. We won't receive a resurrection. We have already been resurrected. We died with Christ, and we have been resurrected with him. That is what water baptism symbolizes. We are not going to live everlasting. We are living. We aren't going to be born again. We are born again. We're not going to have eternal life. We have eternal life. And it's hard to rebuke Martha here in any way except maybe this. You know, many Christians have their faith in the future, or they have their faith in the past, but they declare the present hopeless. I'm pausing there for effect. Listen, I'll say that again. Many Christians have their faith in the future, and they have their faith in things that have passed, but they declare the present hopeless. And listen, you can expect God to test your faith before he responds to it. Okay? God is going to test your faith before he responds to it. And why wouldn't he? Isn't that something you do in life? Don't you test things before you trust them? As a young kid, I would, if I ever saw any kind of vine hanging from a tree, my first instinct was always to grab the vine and swing on it. Or if I saw an old bridge, I wanted to go across it. But I would always test these things to make sure that they were safe, that it was something I could put my faith in, as it were. And everyone talks about faith and action. Even James says faith without deeds is a dead faith. So yes, we do have to put our faith and our action together. It's something we're commanded. But I think it's interesting that Martha went to meet Jesus. She must have known deep down that there was something he could do. Remember, even a mustard seed of faith can be honored by God. And this meeting him, running out to her, this was her deed. It was her faith in action. It was her faith in word, as it were. And that is so opposite of what we experience a lot of times today. So often we declare our faith in word, and God tests that word by our actions. In other words, are we going to walk the talk? Mark 9:24 says, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. In Matthew 9:28, Jesus says, do you believe I am able to make you see? You see, it's okay to question your faith, and it's okay to have some struggles, but just ask God to give you the power to overcome. And acts of faith and deeds of faith usually follow acts of faith. But the testing of your faith is not exclusive to actions. You see, Martha had a word of faith as well. She was speaking things, but even her word of faith needed some help. You see, her faith was in the future, not in the now. And that's why I said before, many Christians walk around with a hopeless present, even though that they have her faith was in the future. She was okay with the one day he will rise. And where is your faith today? Is it in the hopes that things will economically turn around for you one day? Is it in the hopes that one day there'll be a great revival that spreads across this country? Is your faith in just a hope that one day life will get better for you? But what about now? What about right here? What about what we talked about in our last sermon about the 12 hours Jesus spoke about having enough time right now, today, to do the will of God? So put your faith in the now and serve God. Your faith is in the cross, and the cross is in the present. And Martha is immediately strengthened in her faith, and that is evident by her words about Jesus. In verse 27, she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now we see all the pistons are firing together. She's got faith, she's got action, she's got words. And look what happens when your faith and your actions and your words line up. Verse 28, and after that, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. So she runs to get Mary, and we're going to have to look at Mary's grief tomorrow in our sermon, but there's one more thing here. Consider her statement, and I'll end with this. The master is here, and he is asking for you. Friends, the master is in the present, and he is asking for you today. He's asking for you to join him and stand up for the truth. Nobody wants to hear the fullness of God's word anymore because there's too much stuff in there that contradicts what the world is trying to do. But Jesus, the master, is here today, and friends, he is asking for you. And I pray, and I'm asking you as well, stand up for God's truth. And don't be afraid to speak it. And don't be afraid of what the consequences of God's truth are. Because let me tell you something. God will honor your bravery. That's all I got for today. Join me tomorrow. We'll look at Mary's grief. And come by the Wash and Word. We'll see you there. Washandword.com.